and welcome to the house of the Lord. Here we are, and it's a good place to be. Let's go ahead and welcome Jesus into this place. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are here. We pray that our hearts would be prepared, Lord, to receive what you have for us, Lord. Everything here, Heavenly Father, that you have for us. We pray, Jesus, encourage our hearts, strengthen us, lift us. Oh, Lord, help us to be all that you want us to be, Lord. In Jesus' beloved and holy and wonderful name. I'll tell you, there's a lot of different directions I could have gone today, but I thought maybe what I might do is kind of put them all together, because that just seems to be what he has for us today. I have a wonderful poem to read to you from one of our patriarchs at this church, and it is called A Victorious Wind. No matter what you're going through, people, there's a victorious wind waiting for you. Hang on to it with all that you have, with all that you have, all that you have. Hallelujah. A display of power awaits in the shadows of defeat, shaking off doubts and never to retreat. A promise is made for a child of faith, dwelling in God's promises. You will win life's race. Do not be weary in well-doing. Each day, dwell his presence pushing. Possess each moment, breathing fresh air. With his promise of victory, you are richer than a millionaire. So no matter what you are trusting for, if you're believing for finances, if you're believing for your bills to be paid, if you're believing for a new dwelling because you have to move for whatever reason, if you are waiting for a new job, occupation, if you are trusting and believing for your family, in whatever capacity that may be, oh, God's hearing your prayers. He's there for you. And you know what he says to you? He says, I have a victorious win for you if you trust him and stand on him and look to him, children of God. Oh, we praise you today. Oh, I told someone earlier today, I'm so excited to be here. I feel like I could just shout and do cartwheels all over the place. Hallelujah, it's a good place to be. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be his holy name. Amen and amen.
Well, we've heard of a wake-up call. That was just simply a wake-up, too. Get us woken up. Good morning. Cynthia Sandy, my wife. I'm John Sandy. This is the Paulson Gasaway. So glad to have you with us, whether you're here live or on delay. Always on time to hear God's word. So glad to have you with us. And my wife, she lives what she teaches up here. That's the way she is at home. And very grateful for her. We're going to be starting a new topic today. And if you're new with this, or you know someone that might want to get some help, that might be a good way, a reason to get a hold of them. We always ask our congregation to please share this program so that others can get the help they need as well. All right? Amen. Our topic we're starting out with this series is Love God, Hate Sin. Now, you could very easily put a small word in between there to bring this together into its full meaning. Love God and hate sin. We cannot do one without the other. You cannot love God and not hate sin. Vice versa. You cannot hate God and love sin. If you want to walk with God, you can't do that. You have to do both. You have to love God. We're going to talk about how much. You have to hate sin. We're going to talk about how much. Okay? We are to love what God loves and hate what God hates. So if you say, how do I love? How do I hate? then follow God's example through his son Jesus. And we'll talk about it as well. We're going to have some fun here. We're going to go through a number of stories of healings in the Bible and what preceded those healings and what caused those healings to manifest. If we already know that it's God's will for us to be whole, physically, mentally, emotionally, and psychologically, and financially, if we know that's already God's will for us, then we simply need to know what those things are in the eyes of God. Because you and I cannot manufacture what God has called us to do. He's given us many instructions on who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act. We cannot do that unless he helps us. That's why when you get saved, you get the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's why he gives you that. That's why the Bible tells us in the King James Version, he's given us the measure of faith. He's given us the faith of God. Because on our own, we cannot do this thing. Would you agree? In the flesh, we can't do it. He said, well, I just can't do this. You're exactly right. You cannot. You cannot do this thing. But if we follow his example and let him lead and let him manifest himself in our lives through his spirit, then we can do what? How many things? All things. Now, how do I do all things? I can't. But God in me can do all things. Isn't that exciting? To know that because of him that there's no limitations. So let's begin with our first scripture, Matthew 22. Now I'm going to make reference, guys, upstairs to a number of scriptures, but I didn't give those to you because I'm not going to read those specifically. I wanted to give reference where you could find these stories. So you'll have things like that that I'll mention that won't be on your list, but others will. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39. This I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. In response to the Sadducee lawyers who wanted to test Jesus with a question, and they loved doing that, didn't they? They loved to test Jesus, try to catch him, try to catch him off guard. But Jesus not only knew their questions, he knew what they were thinking. It was impossible to catch Jesus. I don't believe Jesus was ever caught off guard. I believe the closest thing to that was whenever the woman with the issue of blood touched him and he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" I believe he was being very legitimate. Jesus was never flippant. He was being very legitimate when he said, "Who touched me?" And of course, as I've mentioned before, that story tells us that we determine our healing. God didn't say, "I'm going to heal her today. Here she comes. I'm now ready to touch her." No, her faith healed her. Now, I know that Jesus had not died for our sins and in our healings yet, but he was walking according to what he saw his Father do. See what I'm saying? He did what he saw his Father do. So he had carte blanche, the opportunity to do whatever God did, whether he had died for your sins yet or whether he had healed your body through his stripes yet. That's why he was able to do that, because he was doing what he saw his Father do. And then for all of us to come, he took upon himself those things on the cross so that now we today, through the Holy Spirit, can do what the Father does today. So let's read on. In response to the Sadducee lawyers who wanted to test him with a question, they asked him, "Teacher, which is the greater commandment in the laws?" Of the laws in the Bible. Now, in Leviticus and Numbers, there are 613 laws. They were designed and set up to show them you can't live it. You can't live all 613. The law was designed to show us where our need was, not who we were as a good person, but where our need was. 613. So they asked him, "Of the laws, which one is the greatest commandment? Now, I'm sure in some way they wanted to trick him and try to trap him in a way, but Jesus was never caught off guard, was he? He walked in the wisdom of his Father. Jesus said to them this, you shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, who would agree with me that in ourselves, in our flesh, it is impossible to do all things? And Jesus breaks it down for you what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love your Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, love your with all your soul, and to love him with all your mind. Now, think of the three categories we have here. Heart, soul, and mind. Now, you cannot do that by itself as written there. So why would he give us instruction to do that and then go on and turn the screws a little further and say, love your neighbor as yourself? You and I cannot do that. What part is missing in this scripture? Our heart, our mind, and our soul. That is the spirit that God will give you at salvation. Now you can do all things. Because as a believer, you accepted Jesus into your life, you accepted the same spirit that raised him from the dead, now you can do all things. Anything you do, now listen to what I'm going to tell you here. Anything you do on your own is carnal. Now, you can do good deeds, you can love people. I'm not saying that it's wrong. Remember, I've said before, not all carnality is sin, but all sin is carnal. So, we operate in the flesh without our Savior. We operate in the carnal mind. Therefore, when you love people, you're going to fail at times. Whatever you do, you're going to fail at times because you're doing it in yourself. So what Jesus did, he came along and he died on the cross for our salvation. He suffered his stripes for our healing. But even more so, he gave us, when he went back to heaven, the same spirit that raised him from the dead. Now you can do all things. And can I add to that? Jesus said, now you can do even greater things than I did. How is that even possible? He's the Son of God. He is the impartation of the Trinity, the living God. They're three in one. So how could he tell us that we can do greater things? Because he went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit that now dwells in us. Now we can do all things. Now we can do greater things than Jesus did. See, don't negate or reduce the value of the Holy Spirit because it's the third part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is vital, very important part of the Trinity, just as God and Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is vital in our lives. So when you give your life to Jesus, now you have the ability. It doesn't mean you're going to do it. But he says you have the ability to do all things and greater things than I did. But you got to renew your mind. Once you're saved, you've got to renew your mind so that you now can take on the mind of Christ. See, renewing your mind is something you do. What God gives us is something he does. So whatever he gives us, he's now requiring us to make decisions on whether we want to do all things, whether we want to take on the mind of Christ. What is taking on the mind of Christ? That is knowing what he knows. Wow. That is knowing what he knows. And we walk in that spirit, partaking of the knowledge of Christ. So as our title says, love God and hate sin, that is a choice that you and I will make. It won't come to you automatically. You will not lollygag. I love that word. You will not lollygag through this world and end up right where God wants you. You will not lollygag through this world and love all things and all people and your neighbor as yourself. You won't do it. We will not be consistent. And the closer we get to him, the more he can do with us, the more he can do through us, and the more consistent our walk will become. So we go through this life, we go through church, we read the Bible occasionally, we do some things, but not all. Because we have not taken upon the challenge that salvation offers us. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to be sanctified. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to love everybody. You have to decide, am I going to love God and hate sin? See, sin serves its purpose in our life. Yes, we need the love of God so we can share it abroad with everybody. Absolutely. But you also have to equally hate sin. See, we're not stirred up over sin. There was something my wife and I were watching a night or so. We very seldom get to do this, but sometimes we'll find a good movie on TV and watch it together. And there was a little part in that movie that wasn't quite good. We weren't expecting it. And I said to her, I said, honey, I owe you an apology. I said, I didn't know that was going to be in there. So if we're going to take on the mind of Christ, we've got to guard our hearts. We've got to renew our mind. And we've got to seek him first. If you don't, you will go through your whole life, and when it's over, you will have less value in what you present to Christ as a living sacrifice. It doesn't come automatic. We will either seek him first or we will not. We will either love God and hate sin or we will not. You will have to do both. There's the interesting thing about sin. As awful as it is, it does take our temperature. Because we're living, a lot of people live half in, half out. They live a life where they do certain things for God, but then they have their own life where they do things for themselves that sometimes is not good and will reduce the amount of love we have for God. The last, now I'm going to listen to what I'm going to tell you here. The less we hate sin, the less we love God. Might want to write that one down. The less we hate sin, the less we will love God. My job as a Christian, if you want to call it a job, is to obey God, to seek him with all my heart, mind, and strength, no matter what you or anybody else does. So many times we blame others for why we're not where we need to be, or make excuses or fumble around with why we're not doing it, and we debate it for years and years and years and never make a decision. Choose you this day who you will serve. That's a daily question. You can turn back to the world any moment you want. You can stop growing any moment you want. You can do your own thing any moment you want. You are a free moral agent. And so God asks us every day when we get up, John, who are you going to serve today? And so the other day I was out, I was taking a little break, getting ready to do the last part of my run. And this lady says to me, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm just listening to a message on my phone. I always try to include the Lord any way I can. See, the definition of flippant is leaving God out. So I try to introduce her to the Lord and say things that are just, you know, not in her faith. I'm not going to, you know, choke her with the Bible. I'm not going to do that, but find opportunities. And we began talking and found out that she's a Christian. She used to be at the same church I used to be at Maranatha many years ago, and she had remembered me. And so we began talking, and I saw the light on her face. I talked about the Lord, and her face would light up. And she's going through some situations right now. And she said, I'm praying about where to go as far as church. Where does God want me now? And just the day before, we had made a decision concerning that very issue. And I said, and I began to tell her about what we were doing. And I looked at her, I smiled, and I said, hello, you just said you're praying. How many times do we pray for God to answer prayer, and he's going, hello? And he's answering your prayer right then. But no, we got to chew on it a while. I'm not sure that's it, you know, and we let it go by. And then we wonder where God is. Folks, if you're going to ask God a question, I have something in here I believe I have written down here somewhere. If you seek him first, he's the first one that's going to answer you. If you seek him first, he will be the first to answer you. Now, I'm not saying the devil won't try to get in there with stuff, but the devil never follows the word of God. Never. He will never tell you anything. Oh. He will never tell you anything that lines up with the word of God. Now, he'll take a piece of it like he did with Jesus in the desert. He shared scriptures with Jesus in the desert, right? In one case, he added to the word. In the other case, he took away from the word. He will never encourage you to get in the Word. He will never speak the Word of God to you, the devil. So when you ask God something, you're seeking him, and you get an answer, it will line up with the Word. Everything Jesus taught, everything God gave us in the Word, anything he tells you now will line up with that. So I suggest we know that. We know the Word. We need to know the Word. We're being fooled by people telling us this and that because we really don't know the word. What did Jesus say every time the devil tempted him? The word says. The word says. You need to know the word. You need to hide it in your heart. You need to memorize it. You need to post it. I told someone the other day, when you're going through something, you find a song, you find a scripture, you find a sermon on that topic, and you pour it into yourself. You renew your mind. You stir yourself up. My wife can tell you many times that would struggle with something, and I would go get in the Word, and I'd come back, and she could tell there was a difference because I fed on the Word. And I renewed that mind, and I regenerated that commitment. Or I could complain. Or I could find some easy way out. I could do something different. But when you need word from God, are you seeking his face? Are you just sitting, waiting around, doing your same old stuff, expecting him to just say, excuse me, can I have your attention for a second? I want to answer your prayer. He's not going to do that. Now, he will do his best to get your attention. If you make your bed in hell, he promises to be there. He will walk the line with you, folks. He won't fail you. But where are we? If you're going to ask him for something, you better be ready to do it. Because you know what? You're going to be accountable. You don't get off the hook because you chose not to listen. Do not ask God anything if you're not willing to do it, because I promise you, listen to me, I promise you, he will be faithful to the question you ask him if you're serious, and you will be responsible for that answer. Don't ask him anything if you are not willing to do it. Well, that will shut down some of our questions right there. Don't. I promise you, if you ask him, if you seek him, he's going to answer you. And you may not like the answer at first, but oh, it's the best for you. And when you do it, you're going to love it more than anything you've ever done in your life. People say, oh, I'm so afraid if I pray, he's going to send me to Africa. Folks, if he's going to send you to Africa, you're going to love it. I'm just telling you, that's the way my God is. You're going to love whatever he's called you to do. But you better be sincere. Don't ask him a question flippantly. Because, well, I can ask because I'll never hear anything. Be careful. This woman told me on the track when I saw her, and she's the one that approached me. I've been praying where to go to church, and I just gave her an answer. And I said, hello? In a fun way. I mean, she laughed. We just had a good time. But God's trying to help her. He loves her. And I can tell she loves him. Yeah, she's got some situations that I don't dare judge at all. But I did tell her this. I said, this person you're talking about that you're struggling with, I said, their salvation may be in your faithfulness. She said, that just confirmed what God told me. See, do you see why it says don't forsake the assembling together? We got people that will not come to church regularly. Now, I realize things come up. We've had things come up in situations where we had to use wisdom. Megan filled in for me recently, and Sam has in the past, and they both do a marvelous job. Wonderful insights. So God knows when our feet are made of clay, but we need to be together. I need you. There may be something I do that you may need. The gift flow. Did you know that something you've been praying for years may be in the very service you decide to stay home? Do you know that's possible? How do I know that? Because that's why the devil fights. The devil isn't going to fight you if there isn't something waiting for you. The devil is not going to fight you if there's not something waiting for you. So we got to be consistent for our own sake so we don't miss stuff. Which is what God has for us. Proverbs, let's go into one more scripture here before we close today. Again, love your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, with all your heart, mind, and soul. And at salvation, love him with your whole spirit. Think about that. When God gave you a spirit, it's not a baby spirit. We've talked about this. Your spirit's as mature as it will ever be when you get saved. I don't care if you're 7 when you get saved. You got the same spirit that Jesus has. You got the same spirit that raised him from the dead, even if you get saved at 7. And so we have to grow into what God's given us. Our spirit doesn't grow into us. We grow into it. Oh, what he wants to do with that, the authority he's given you. We could talk about that. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 from the Message Bible. You guys may not have that one. I apologize. Every once in a while I'll pull out one you may not have in your ledger, but pull to give her a shot. You may not know this, and I had to get into this one because it's going to take a little bit of work. But I find it very fascinating. In Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, here are 6 things God hates. What's my God like? What does he want me to do? Well, let's just find out a little bit about his personality. And here are 6 things that God hates. And it says, and one more that he loathes with a passion. Translation, an abomination to God. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever read that scripture? Just real quickly, and we'll discuss this in detail next week, Lord helping. Eyes that are arrogant, humble yourself before your God, right? Tongue that lies. If you can control the tongue, you can control any part of the body. Nothing much worse than a tongue out of control. It will slice you and it will dice you. Hands that murder the innocent. You notice how it says murder the innocent? Now, there are times when we go to war And there are times when people do things, whether you agree with corporal punishment or not, capital punishment, I don't know, I don't want to go there. I'm just saying, here it says don't murder the innocent. And it specifically says that for us. A heart that hatches evil plots. A heart that hatches evil plots. This is something pre-designed. You cannot sin without first thinking it. You don't just sin and go, oops, didn't know that was going to come out. No, your mind thinks it first. Control your thoughts. Take every thought captive. That's good and bad thoughts, folks. When it says take every thought captive, that's good and bad. That means you know you're in control what's going into the heart and what's not. You take every thought captive. So the heart that hatches evil plots, that there's so much in that. It shows predetermined plans. It shows hatching something that can grow. Plots, something that you have really worked out in your mind, something you're going to do. And a lot of times these evil thoughts and plans have to do with revenge or jealousy. Feet that race down a wicked track, not walk, not accidentally find themselves lost, but seek out a place and go down that track as fast as you can, that wicked road. A mouth that lies under oath. Now, we already mentioned about lying, but why does it mention this again? It says the tongue that lies. This one says a mouth that lies under oath. There is something about giving your word and going against it. There is something about that that is beyond just simple lying. When you promise someone, this is a tough one, it's going to be a hard one, get ready. There are things that we promise people and we don't do, that means we lied. If you have a 15-minute break at work and you take 20, you just lied. So there's lies. Then there's an oath. When you take a job and they tell you how much time you get off and this and that, that is an oath you've taken with your boss. It's a different level of lying than what we say with our tongue. This is with our whole mouth. This is with who we are. So when you tell someone you're going to do something and you don't, you lose credibility with them and God. Did you know that? Did you know that God trusts us as much as he can? He doesn't just trust. Just because he loves you doesn't mean he trusts you. If you go into business with someone and they steal your money, you can forgive them instantly, but you may never go back in business again with them. Maybe someday, but that may never happen. Does that mean you've not forgiven them? No, you've forgiven them. You just can't trust them anymore. Let me give you another one. I've shared this before I stop. If you continually do say one thing and do another, do you know that you're ready for this? When you speak the word of God, you won't believe it because you know your nature. You know that what comes out of your mouth is not dependable. And therefore, when you speak the word of God, ouch. When you speak the word of God, you don't trust your word, even though it's the word of God, because it's coming out of your mouth, and your mouth isn't trustworthy. It's heavy stuff, but that's exactly right. I'm giving you a truth. Troublemaker. You ever met a troublemaker? Someone you work with or go to church with, they're just stirring up trouble all the time. Troublemaker, you know what troublemaker is? It's a person that finds a way to make trouble. That was hard, wasn't it? Troublemaker is someone that finds a way to make trouble. I mean, they are working at it. And here's the last one, which is the greatest, I believe. If I understand the scripture, this is the greatest of all seven of our sins, abomination. Sowing discord among brethren. You and I are to be peacemakers. You and I are to carry peace everywhere we go. If there is discord and you step in the middle of it, you're bringing peace in the midst of discord. If you've ever been around people that gossip and you say one positive thing about the person they're gossiping about, it shuts it down. Shuts it down. Because you're not feeding it. They're feeding each other. You came in, you took away the feed sack. And all of a sudden, they have nothing to feed on, so they go their way. So, sowing discord. I'd love to talk about it a little bit more. We're going to stop right there. Next week, we'll get into that a little bit more in Ephesians 4, 26 through 27 from the Amplified. We're going to get into Ephesians 6. We're going to get into some wonderful stories of healings, why they took place, what had to happen for them to take place, and how we can break down different reasons why we are not receiving the healing that God's promised. He's promised it. He'll never go back on his word. And we'll do that. God, loving God, and, add the word and, hating sin. You cannot do one without the other. Father, we thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the opportunity to teach your word and try to encourage us, Father, to change. It's time to change. It is time. We're running out of time. It is time for us to change, Father. It is the time for this carnal nature to submit to the living God that lives inside of us as believers. We need to put carnality into submission. Lord, help us. Help us to hear what we're teaching today. Help me to live it. Help us to live it. Help us to be all you called us to be, that one day we could be counted as entering in that good and faithful servant. Jesus, help us to be faithful, not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged that if we've not done these things to start today, we bless you for it. We praise your holy name and give you all the thanks for what you've done today and are going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray always, amen. Please hit like and share. Please help us share this. Like, share, even subscribe so you can get notifications, because we teach also during the week. John Fowler and us, we do the John Show on Monday. Watch for that tomorrow morning at 8 as we continue on with the subject we've been on in that class and our Friday Connect group. If you are not in a church and you're in the Kanawha, Putnam County area, we have a Connect group that meets at 6 p.m. You can get a hold of me through Messenger. Message me, private message me on Facebook, and I'll be glad to get back with you if you'd like to join us, if you need a church, or if you have a church, you just want some place to come for food fellowship and family time together and the Word of God. We're teaching on faith levels on Friday night. Maybe you'd like to join us for that as well. Please share this if you do not mind, and we'll see you next time for God, Loving God and Hating Sin, Part 2, next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Thank you.